Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the ghost who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man," and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowliest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. I'm reading a new book by a priest by the name of Father Richard Rohr. Anybody read anything by him? Yeah, some of you have. He's an interesting character. You know, every now and then, actually quite often through church history, we come to that point where the church has to find ways to have new expression, new ways of teaching the gospel. The gospel never changes. But because culture changes so much and so frequently, often the church has to find new ways of doing that. Now, back in the 4th century, there was a rather eccentric fellow, scholar, by the name of Jerome, and he had the belief that people needed to have scriptures in a language they could understand. And so where the scriptures had always been in Greek before, which was the language of the intelligentsia and the universities, he decided to translate it into another language that everybody else spoke. And he was chastised for creating what they called a vulgar Bible, because it was in such a vulgar language. We call it the Latin Vulgate to this day, because he was finding new ways of expressing the gospel to the people of his generation. St. Thomas Aquinas himself, when he was trying to find ways, when classical philosophy was resurging in Europe, and he was trying to find ways to embrace Aristotelian philosophy and logic in a theological context. And in doing that, he wrote his own Summa Theologica, which was many people wrote these huge volume works, and he wrote a very long one. But he was chastised for that. In fact, he was excommunicated by the Bishop of Paris. He was actually tried for heresy, for trying to incorporate Aristotelian logic into sacred theology. And of course, you know, he was exonerated and he's become one of the greatest doctors of the church. So we have these periods. We live in a time and space right now where the world is changing so rapidly. You know, the human knowledge doubled in about the first 1,000 years after the time of Christ. It took about 1,000 years for human knowledge to double. And then the rate got faster. It would double in 500 years, then in 200 years. Around 1850, it was doubling at a rate of every 100 years. And by World War II, it was doubling at the rate of every 25 years. Human knowledge is now doubling at a rate of every year. Technology in 5 years will be 32 times more powerful than it is today. To find ways to express the gospel into a culture where people grow up with smartphones, where the entirety of human knowledge they carry around in their pockets. How do we do that? I don't know. This has nothing to do with my homily. But but there were no kids to have a children's sermon, so I thought, I'll take up the extra time and I'll talk about this. Because a priest, this Father Richard Rohr, he tries to find ways to express the gospel in new ways that speak to a generation under 30. And I have a difficulty with some of his expressions, but that's not unreasonable since it's been a long time since I've seen 30. And so I struggle with some of this, but he's trying at least. I'm not sure he's nailing it quite yet, but he's trying. And we all need to realize that we are not the center of the world. I mean, there are people that we're not reaching because we are very set in the way we like to do things. We need to learn ways to express the gospel that more can understand. So anyway, this was all because I wanted to start my homily with a quote by Father Rohr. And he's talking about Christianity in the 21st century. And he says this, he says, life in this 21st century seems to be all about winning. And then after you've won, it's all about consuming. I think he's got that right. You see, we read this gospel, and people are coming to a wedding feast, and they're trying to get in the right seats. And this is something that we don't really relate to because we don't do things that way. It's fairly foreign to our culture. But this concept of winning and consuming, we're trying to win, the competitiveness of today's culture is so evident. We just find different ways to express it. Now, one way that I see this expressed often is when I drive into work in the morning. So I drive up from Grandview, as most of you know. I drive up 71 Highway, and there is always, seems to be, someone who thinks this is a NASCAR track. And they weave in this way, they weave out that way, they can't find a way to get ahead, but then there's an entrance lane, so they get in the entrance lane and gun it so they can run past the car in the right lane and swing over three lanes. And then, you know, 71 Highway's got traffic lights. And then we all wind up at the traffic light together. But I watch how people risk their property, perhaps even their lives, for one car length. They want to get ahead one car length. But this drive of competition to get ahead, to win, is so strong. And that's what Jesus is speaking to in this parable when he says, those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And so the one who is constantly racing and trying to get ahead, yes, he will have that traffic accident eventually. Hopefully nobody will get hurt, and his insurance rate will go through the roof because it's his third accident this year. Yes, the humility will find him. You know, and the fighter, the prize fighter, who's the top gun, the young man who can come out and take away the heavyweight title, and he's wonderful, he's the champion until next year when the next young gun comes out and comes after him. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. It's not, you know, he's not so much telling us God's going to humble you because you've been proud. He's just kind of telling us the way it is. I grew up in Texas. There are a lot of really strange things about growing up in Texas, and one of them is Texans' love affair with football, especially high school football. Because, you know, it's particularly in East Texas where I grew up, there were lots of oil men that had lots of money, and they would pour millions of dollars into building massive football stadiums for the high school team and buy huge gyms. And they would actually go around the state and recruit people. And they would hire their parents to bring them into the school district so that they could have a hot player on their team. And they're just nuts about high school football. There was a movie made about this, and some of you may have seen it. It's been a few years, called Friday Night Lights. And it's about Texas high school football. And there's one particular scene in this movie that I thought, oh man, that really nails it. And the father of the quarterback, who himself was a quarterback when he was in high school, and he's an alcoholic, he's a little abusive, he's in a dead-end job, and he's roughing his son up a little bit, and he says, you've got to win this state championship. Because, you know, he's wearing his own state championship ring. He says, I have worn my ring every day since I won my state championship. This is it. This is your life. After this moment, it's all downhill from here. Because he lived in pride, and the rest of his life, he was living in humiliation. He couldn't get ahead again. He had done all he could. He had won his one life goal at that moment and did not know where to go from there. When you exalt yourself, you will be humbled. But Jesus calls us to reverse that. Live lives of humility, and then God will exalt you. But here's the question: what is humility? Is it putting yourself down? Is it saying, you know, I'm self-deprecating? You know, I'm a dreadful person. I make all these mistakes. And, of course, I'm old enough, I make a lot of mistakes. And so, yeah, no, that can sometimes, I go too far with that sometimes myself, because we tend to want, you know, to detract from ourselves, to focus on our own weaknesses. But humility is not being weak. Humility is being strong and powerful, being able to do great things, but not for your own glory or benefit. To do great and powerful things for the glory of God and for the benefit of others. Now, this is one of my favorite stories. It's a sports story, and I don't have a whole lot of sports stories because I was not a great athlete myself. I was more of a musician. I'm more of a guitarist than I am a football player, which is dreadful growing up in Texas. But anyway, Bob Wills is still the king, right? So I heard this story years ago by a friend of mine who actually did play baseball, and about a man by the name of Brooks Robinson. Baseball fans here know who Brooks Robinson was. All right, we have some fans here. Brooks Robinson was a great baseball player. In some ways, he holds records that still stand today. He played for the Baltimore Orioles for 22 or 23 years. One team. He holds the record for having played for one team the longest of anybody in professional baseball history. He was a third baseman, and he had an amazing glove. He was known as one of the greatest defensive players of all time. He played in four World Series. In the 1970 World Series, the Baltimore Orioles played against, I think it's the Cincinnati Reds. I thought so, but I was confusing Reds and Redskins. No, Cincinnati Reds. And they won. Okay. During this World Series, he batted 429. 429 is a good average at any time, but against a World Series team, that's a really an amazing batting average. He was such a strong defensive player that he earned the nickname the Human Vacuum. One of the players of the Cincinnati Reds admitted that he had a nightmare in which he's eating breakfast, he drops the daily newspaper. Brooks Robinson shows up, catches it before it hits the ground, and throws him out at first. He was an amazing baseball player. He was named the most valuable player of that World Series, 1970, and was named the top professional athlete in any sport of the year. Top professional athlete of the year. An amazing player. He was interviewed on the Today Show by Barbara Walters. And Barbara asked him the question. She asked him, what is it like to be the best in the world? You are the best baseball player. You're the best athlete in the world. What's it like to be to have the best in the world and have the acclaim of all the crowds. Everybody cheers when you go out on the field. What's that like? And Brooks Robinson said this. He said, well, Barbara, it's quite an honor. I admit that. But I learned a long time ago to make God my only audience. Humility is not being weak. God has made you strong. God has put power within each of you, within your souls, the power to love, the power to forgive, the power to change your life and to change the life of others. God has given so much power to you. Humility is not being weak, but it's to take that power, to be your best. Or like Brooks Robinson, even be the best in the world, but not for your glory, not for your benefit, not for my glory, not for my benefit, but for the glory of God and for the benefit of others. And then you realize God exalts the humble. And you find yourself in a position in life that you would never imagine yourself to be. Because the proud shall be humbled, but the humble, God will exalt the humble.